John, thanks for taking time for us.
Donald Trump tried to stop us, I'm sure. So we finally beat him. So.
Well, I mean, he's going to appoint the person who's going to be in charge of the FCC.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Rick.
I appreciate it. So the question I had is, you know, in the post-120 world that we're coming into, you know, what are folks like you in communities that have high poverty rates doing to prepare for what we know is coming, which is an assault on poor and working class people?
Yeah, geez, I don't know. I mean, there's the training wheels come off this week, and that's a scary prospect. And I don't think nobody knows what's going to happen. He campaigned on, forgotten places, forgotten people, and you know, my hometown was certainly category, you know, meet that criteria, but I don't think that good things are coming. And honestly, nobody knows what's coming on because very few people ever saw Donald Trump winning the Republican primary, let alone the presidency. So it's, we're pretty much flying blind at this point.
Yeah, I mean, my fear is, again, you look at, and it's not just Trump, and this is I don't want to keep focusing on him. It's the entire Republican establishment right now that seems to want, now that they have control, they want to punish poor people even more by stealing health care away from them, by putting somebody who will be the most anti-labor secretary in as labor secretary.
No, I couldn't agree more. It's the toxic people that he's appointing, like Jeff Sessions. And, you know, Rick Perry forgot about the Energy Department in an answer in a presidential debate. Who better to run the department than Rick Perry, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's bizarre. And every day there's something new, whether he is going after Meryl Streep on Twitter or appointing a nincompoop like Rick Perry to lead an important agency like the Department of Energy. It's outrage fatigue for me. Like, I don't check the news as much because I'm just going to see something that is, like, how is this allowable? How is this, you know, tolerated? Because the expectations are just so low.
Yeah, let me ask you. You hit on something there that I think is really important. You said you don't check the news off because you don't want to get in there. How much of this do you think is part of a grand? And I hate to sound conspiratorial, but part of just getting people tired of the minutia, tired of the nonsense, to where they eventually just drop out.
Oh, it's like, you know, like if every car is going 100 miles an hour, you're not going to slow down for anything. And just when something comes up, there's something else zooming by. And if there isn't something, he'll tweet something out, and then that automatically shifts the news cycle. So whether it's a conspiracy or not or whatever, it's outrage fatigue. And I can't be the only one feeling it. It's like, you know, every day there's something new, some conflict of interest. You know, NATO's obsolete, this, that. I mean, like, it's a smorgasbord of, like, outrageous, outlandish, and downright dangerous things. And you just never know where to go with it at this point. It's a sad day for the Republic.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. But here's the thing. This guy is going to be in charge of the most powerful military in the history of civilization. And, you know, while he may be tweeting out things that are going to be dead wrong, as I said earlier, the reality is he's never going to back up, even if he is dead wrong, which eventually makes people like us dead.
I agree. I mean, the fact that no matter how conservative you are, you know, if you think that Donald Trump should be, you know, guardian of the nuclear code, I'll never understand that. Like, there's no common ground to be had there. You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you would have told me a sitting U.S. president would go after an actress on Twitter, I never would believe it. Never would have believed it. But not only has that happened, it just gets brushed off like, there he goes again. You know, it's very scary.
It's almost the new normal. And not just, you know, going after an actress, but going after, you know, really a civil rights icon and saying, oh, what have you done? Nothing.
Well, I mean, it's like if you're in the political arena and you take a shot, you have to expect you're going to get one back. I'm not defending what Trump did. But what I'm saying is as an actress, like, you know, as the president of the United States or going after Arnold Schwarzenegger for his rating, I mean, just bizarre kind of, you know, like, mortified. Like, it just, like I said, every day there's a new low, and I just, you know, what do you do for an encore when you actually, again, are the actual sitting president?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what 121 is going to look like, but I'm not thrilled to get there. I know there's going to be a huge march of women on Washington, and I'm expecting more women to show up on Saturday than people show up for the inauguration. Speaking of which, are you going to be watching the inauguration?
No, I don't understand why any Democrat would go. I really don't. It's not a matter of showing respect for the office because, like, when he starts showing respect for the office, that's when I'm going to at this point because, especially I campaigned hard for her and she should be the one getting sworn in, but I don't know why Secretary Clinton would go to the inauguration of someone who behaved in such an absolutely appalling manner during the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, even, I go back and I talk about John Adams, and one of the things that I respected about John Adams is when he lost, he left. He didn't show up to the inauguration. So there's a precedent, I think, for this.
Well, precedent or not, Donald Trump is unprecedented, and it changed the rules. So, I don't know why any Democrat, given the way that, the level of his rhetoric and the way he's conducted himself, would want to be a part of that whole spectacle. And it's like, I would just leave it on him saying, hey, our phone number. If you want to work together, great. If not, we don't expect to be able to work with you. And we'll do whatever we can to stop the rollback of healthcare or, you name it, reproductive rights, voting rights. I mean, just the whole laundry list of the hard rights. I don't know what to describe it other than a coup. I mean, that's all it is. Like, we take away your right to vote. We take away your right to, just like what they did in North Carolina. It is genuinely scary.
Yeah, and not just North Carolina. I mean, you expect that, but I look at a place like Wisconsin, where 300,000 people didn't get to vote because the state passed the voter suppression law.
And, yeah, touche. And all under the auspice of voter fraud, even though no one can point to one single documented case, really effectively across the country. It just becomes this echo chamber on Drudge Report that there's mass fraud. And, I mean, you had Donald Trump tweeting out that, if it wasn't for voter fraud, he would have won the popular vote. And he's never been held accountable to that. No one has said, wow, this guy is clinically insane. How could he do this? It's just that, there goes old Donald again.
Yeah. Well, again, it's the new normal. I think, sadly, it's the new normal, but it shouldn't be.
It's the new abnormal. And people, I guess there's folks that just want bread and circus here, where they want the spectacle, or they want to be like, I'm going to tune in like Howard Stern to see what he says next. And it's like, that's great if it's Howard Stern's radio show, if that's your thing. But Howard Stern doesn't have control of the nuclear arsenal. Howard Stern can't pick a fight with China. Howard Stern can't create world chaos, on a single sentence the way the president can. And by all of his actions, he seems hell-bent on recklessly pursuing that kind of agenda.
Yeah, I mean, one poorly worded, grammatically incorrect tweet, and who knows what happens.
Yeah, this man habitually misspells things on Twitter, which actually corrects your spelling for you. Like, how does that even happen? Well, you talk to any of the supporters and it's just like, oh, well, no big deal, whatever. I don't understand it. It's like, aren't we all Americans? Aren't we all patriots first? Has tribalism become this important in your life that I'd rather vote for an R than somebody who's not, legitimately dangerous to, our entire society?
Well, I mean, the reality is politics have turned into team sports. Like, personally, I can never root for the Cowboys ever. And that's kind of the mentality that we have in politics. I mean, I like football, but I'll never root for the Cowboys ever.
With all due respect, whether the Cowboys win or lose only really affects the Cowboys. It doesn't affect all of us. And that's, everyone's got skin in this game. Nobody had, very few people have actual skin in the game between the Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Root who you want to root, but at the end of the day, no one from the Cowboys or the Packers is going to have control of our nuclear codes. Right. And then that really is what scares me more than any single thing, is we've spent decades in non-proliferation, and that all gets turned on its head
instantaneously the moment Donald Trump becomes president, and it honestly horrifies me.
Do you really think that he's, because there are some people that I've talked to who think he's that kind of big game hunter, thrill seeking kind of mentality, who just wants to blow off a nuke so he can be one of two people to ever do it. Do you really think that, personally, do you think that's a possibility?
You have a man with a temper, lack of self-control, and already a professed interest in what's the sense in having him if you don't use him, and who's already bragged that we can outmatch anybody in this specific area. And it really does scare me. I don't know if anyone on your listeners has ever seen the movie The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken, but there's a politician played by Martin Sheen called Greg Stilson. And he becomes president, and he ends up starting a nuclear war. And this vision that Christopher Walken's character has, and when he was elected, I'm like, we just elected a Greg Stilson for president, because this is a guy more than anyone ever that is capable of this kind of chaos and this kind of danger. You know, like, you might hate Obama and his policy, but this is a careful, thoughtful man that would never take us down that path. Whereas you have this, you know, individual who goes after actresses, goes after actors, goes after anybody really on Twitter, including world leaders. And I don't know where that ends other than some kind of global tragedy.
Yeah. Or someone taking his toys away at some point. I wonder if we have the power to take his toys away.
Who's going to take his toys away? All that stuff has to come from Congress. When I was going around as a surrogate for Secretary Clinton and Katie McGinty, I kept begging people, like, if Trump wins, I guarantee you the Senate goes, and then that's all three houses, and then there goes the Supreme Court. You know, it's like they offered Ted Cruz, what I've read, a Supreme Court slot. He didn't take it. But can you imagine Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court for the next 40 years? What that would be like for American society? I mean, those are the kind of voices and people that he's injecting into the system. And it's not for 4 years. It could be 20, 30, even 40 years. For somebody as young as Ted Cruz.
Oh my gosh, I mean that's a scary prospect. You just scare. That's enough for me to go running for the hills.
Yeah, well, I mean, organized labor, a woman's right to choose, climate control. I mean, any of these issues that any rational person could say, why are we still debating these in 2017? It's all on rollback, and it should horrify any thoughtful person that just, you know, like, we didn't sign up for this. I can't believe there aren't more Republicans that the way he's conducted himself over the last 8 weeks can't say, wow, I never signed up for this, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. But here's the thing. How many people are just happy they won? I mean, I get so much, we won, you lost, get over it. And I'm going, well, honestly, we're all going to lose.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to get over it, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope, but at the end of the day, like, I've already assumed that everything that we hold dear as Democrats or progressives is going to take a hit over the next 2 to 4 years. I just hope it doesn't turn into some kind of global calamity. That's how low my bar is set, you know, and that's a tragedy too, because, you know, my family has health care because of the Affordable Care Act. A lot of people in my community have health care as a result of the Affordable Care Act, and the Republicans are eager to repeal this, all in the name of doing something that, because they can't stand a man simply because of his race or the fact that he's won two elections in a row back-to-back at their expense. I don't know which it is.
No, I always say it's the black guy in the White House. That's their problem.
Sure.
So last question I've got for you. You know, as you look at, you know, Friday and beyond, what's the marching order? You can't just take it laying down. What do people do?
We have to do everything we can to make sure Governor Wolf is reelected. I mean, that's really it. I mean, can anybody see Ohio going blue in 2020? I can't. And if they take Pennsylvania out for the next election cycle and Ohio, the Democrats' path to 270 becomes severely restricted. And do you want, you know, what will this country look like with 8 years of Donald Trump? That's my question. And that's what motivates me to do everything that we can to make sure that in 2018 we hold the line in the U.S. Senate, we hold the line in Harrisburg, and I don't think we're going to pick up a lot of ground but we need to hold the line and take things back in 2020. And that starts, you know, with Governor Wolf's reelection.
There you go. John, I appreciate the time. Best of luck. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Rick. As always, it's a pleasure.
Always great to talk to our friend John Fetterman. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.